23, beginning at verse 44. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last.
I wonder, have you ever asked the question, what is God really like? What is God really like? If there is a God, what is he like? And when you first hear that question, it can sound fairly philosophical, even sort of academic, the sort of question that philosophers ask, monks, theologians with too much time on their hands. Or it's the sort of question you might ask when you're young, but then you grow older, you get busy, and you don't have the time to ask it. It's sort of a luxury question. What is God like? That'd be nice to know, but life's too busy, and we just move on. Now the question, what is God really like? Again, at first can sound like an academic one until we add a second part to it. What is God really like? And can I trust him with my life? The minute we bring trust into it, it becomes a far more alive question. What is God really like? And can I trust him with my life? Someone once put it to me like this. Not many people are interested in the load-bearing capacity of steel cable. It's a question for sort of specialists, engineers. They might be interested in discussing that, but the rest of us aren't. Until that is, you find yourself on the London Eye, suspended over 400 feet above the City of London by that cable. Or perhaps you're in the Alps on a cable car, swaying in the wind, going up a mountain, hanging by that cable. See, suddenly the load-bearing capacity of steel cable becomes the most important subject in the world. Is this cable strong enough to hold my weight? Can I trust it? Because suddenly the answer to that question could save your life. And I want to suggest that actually the question, what is God really like, always has to follow with the question, can I trust him with my life? Because the question of trust stands at the very heart of the Christian life. Faith in the Bible isn't something vague or mysterious, sort of it's a weird feeling that someone has and someone else doesn't. I wish I had your faith. No, when the Bible talks about faith, what it means is trust. Trust in a person. Specifically, faith in the Bible is trust in the God of the Bible. So what is God really like? Is God really good? Is God really strong enough to carry my weight? Is God strong enough for me to depend on in my life, whatever is going on all around me? Faith in the Bible is all about trust. Can I trust God with my life? Can I depend on him? Can I trust God with my health, with my family, with my loved ones, with my future? Can I trust God with my life? And can I even trust him with my death? So when you put the question like this, it's suddenly far from academic. It is a life and death question. Now, a friend of mine once told me about a family that she was friends with. And the wife in this family became pregnant. But early on in the pregnancy, the doctors picked up there were some serious health concerns with the baby. And very quickly, there was a lot of uncertainty as to whether the baby would survive delivery. And my friend met with this mother during this time of grief and shock and fear. And what the mother said to my friend has always stuck with her, and it's stuck with me as well. This is what the mother said. She said, "I don't need to understand exactly what God is doing in all of this. I don't need to understand everything that God does. I just need to know that he loves me, and I need to know I can trust him. All I need to know is, does God love me, and can I trust him?" It's an amazing statement of faith, I would say. And in the uncertain times we're living in, with COVID-19, all the effects of it affecting all of our lives, we often do have big questions. What is God doing? What is God trying to do through all this? How do we understand what this is doing? And actually, next week, we're going to think about some of those questions in a talking point sermon. But actually, ultimately, those aren't the most important questions we can ask. What is God doing? What might God be doing? The most important question for any of us to ask right now is, does God love me? And can I trust him with my life? Can I trust him with my future? And here's where this last word of Jesus spoken on the cross as he drew his dying breath 2,000 years ago really helps us answer those questions. Because Jesus' last words here, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," tells us, yes, we can trust God. Yes, God does love us, and we can trust him with our lives, with our families, with our futures, even with our deaths. Luke 23, verse 46, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In the next few minutes, I want us to see that this is a prayer of faith, a prayer of trust and dependence on God, spoken by Jesus in his dying moments. And it's a prayer we can learn to pray with Jesus in our own lives as we follow Jesus in this world. So where have we got to in our series, the story of the cross so far? At the point when Jesus says the words we're looking at today, he's been hanging on the cross for approximately 6 hours. Crucifixion was a long, drawn-out, painful death by slow suffocation. But finally, at this moment, Jesus is preparing to breathe his last breath. Let me just read verse 44 of Luke 23 for us. "It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining." Now, we looked at the darkness in the middle of the day a few weeks ago when we were in Matthew's gospel, and we saw then that darkness in the Bible, it's a sign of God's judgment on human sin. So God is judging the sins of his people at the cross. But amazingly, it's Jesus, God's Son, who's taking the punishment we deserve on himself at the cross. Jesus is our sacrificial lamb, dying in our place so we can live, paying the price for our sin so we can be forgiven, swapping places with us, taking our punishment so we can be adopted into God's family forever. And just look at how Luke describes this moment, verse 45. "The sun stop shining." Something huge is happening here. It's as if the sun itself cannot bear to look at what is happening to Jesus. The sun turns its face away, just as the Father turns his face away. See, on the cross, Jesus, the Son of God, became sin for us, took the punishment we deserve, that we could be forgiven and adopted into God's family forever. But wait a minute, someone might say. You're talking about the cross here, but actually, isn't this a horrific picture? Doesn't this paint a really ugly picture of the relationship between God the Father and God the Son? So perhaps when some people look at the cross, they see Jesus suffering on the cross, they sort of imagine, well, is what's happening, is it that God the Son is desperately pleading for us, pleading, urging his Father to forgive us, but his Father's just there, angry and frowning, just wanting Jesus to get out of the way so he can pour his wrath on us? Is the Father somehow reluctant to forgive us? He's only forced to forgive us because what God the Son does by stepping in and dying on the cross. Is that what's happening at the cross? Or perhaps worse still, is God the Father forcing God the Son to go to the cross, to suffer an agonizing death for a crime he didn't commit? Is God the Father forcing God the Son to take our punishment against all claims of justice? Famously, the church leader Steve Chalk once described this understanding of the cross as a form of cosmic child abuse, a vengeful father punishing his son for an offence he has not even committed. Is that what's going on at the cross here? Well, I want us to say no to that. And we can say that because of these last words of Jesus here. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. See, the last words of Jesus here say something hugely important about what is going on at the cross. These last words of Jesus tell us that at the cross, God the Father and God the Son were working together to save us. See, here at the very end of his suffering on the cross, Jesus reveals that he and the Father, they're in this together. God the Father and God the Son are working together to save us at the cross. And this prayer of Jesus is a prayer to his Father, his partner in this saving work at the cross. You see, the God Christians believe in is a God in three persons. He's a God who is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the whole Trinity are committed to saving us at the cross. So we need to be clear here, neither the Father nor the Son were reluctant to save us at the cross. Neither of them were forced into saving us at the cross. No, they freely chose to rescue us at the cross out of love for us. You see, the cross, it was hugely costly to both God the Father and God the Son. For God the Father, it meant giving up the most precious thing he had, the most precious person he had in the whole universe, his Son, whom he loves. For God the Son, it meant humbling himself even to death on a cross. And yet both the Father and the Son went through with it. Why? Because God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit loves us passionately. He is a God of love and he is determined to rescue people, to be his own people, to be his own family, his own bride. And he does that at a tremendous cost to himself at the cross. See, this prayer of Jesus at the end of his life, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, shows us that the Father and the Son are working together to save us. They're in this together. And this prayer also shows us something else about the relationship between the Father and the Son. See, at the cross, Jesus loved and trusted his Father completely. Jesus loved and trusted his Father completely at the cross. Again, we've already seen the darkness in the middle of the day is the sign of God's anger at sin. And Jesus, God's Son, is taking that anger on himself. We saw a few weeks ago Jesus cry earlier on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Shows that for the first and only time in eternity, God the Father and God the Son are separated by our sin as Jesus takes the punishment we deserve. But now, at the end of Jesus' suffering on the cross, as Jesus prepares to breathe his last, Jesus commits himself into the hands of the Father who has always loved him, the Father he has always trusted. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, Luke tells us, Jesus breathed his last. I wonder, who do you turn to when you're struggling and when you're suffering? My guess would be you turn to someone who loves you and someone you can trust. So maybe you turn to your parents or another family member. You turn to your husband or your wife. You turn to your brother or your sister, your best friend. Who does Jesus turn to at his moment of greatest need? The answer this prayer gives us is Jesus turns to his Father who loves him. He places his life, his spirit, into his Father's hands. Jesus loves and trusts his Father completely at the cross. And we need to see that to understand what's going on at the cross. And the third thing these last words of Jesus tell us is that at the cross, God the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice in our place. God the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice in our place. Look at the second half of verse 45 again. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, Matthew and Mark add the detail that the curtain of the temple was torn into from top to bottom. So this is God himself acting to remove the barrier between himself and humanity in response to Jesus' suffering on the cross. The way to God is now open. We can now draw near to God because God the Father has accepted Jesus' sacrifice in our place. It's an amazing moment. And actually, Jesus understands that too. Look at verse 46 again. You see, normally, a person in the last stages of crucifixion would barely have the strength to say anything, maybe just a groan of pain. But look at how Luke describes Jesus here. Verse 46, Jesus calls out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." See, why a loud voice? Because this is a cry of triumph. This is Jesus crying out, "It is finished. I have won. Sin and death are defeated." And so Jesus, finally, with that final breath, commits himself into the hands of his Father. These last words of Jesus from the cross say so much about what is happening at the cross. They tell us that the cross, that God the Father and Jesus, they're working together to save us. They're in this together. They show us that Jesus loved and trusted his Father completely in the midst of his suffering. And they show us that God the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice in our place. Hence, this is a cry of triumph as well as a prayer of faith. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." These words tell us things about the unique moment of the cross, that moment in history where God the Son took our punishment for us 2,000 years ago on a hill outside Jerusalem. These are unique words belonging to Jesus. But I want us to see as well that these are words that reveal to us the character of our God, the heart of our God. They're words that show us why God is a God we can trust in our lives. So that's where we started today. What is God really like? Can I trust him with my life, with my future? And these last words of Jesus tell us something very simple, but something that'll take the rest of our lives to get full hold of. See, on the cross, Jesus trusted his Father completely. And he can teach us to do the same. On the cross, Jesus trusted his Father completely, and we can do the same today. Because Jesus' Father is now our Father if we trust in Jesus. See, again, slow down when you come to this moment in Luke. When Jesus prays this prayer, the sun has stopped shining, the sky is dark, he is suffering, and he is alone. And perhaps you can relate to that feeling in your own life. Maybe in recent days, in the light of lockdown, maybe other moments in your life, those times when the world and your life in this world only ever feels like a dark place, where people are absent from us, where all we can feel right now is our suffering, is that fear of what is going to happen next. What do these dying words of Jesus teach us in those moments? I want us to see that these dying words of Jesus teach us God is present with us in the dark, and God can be trusted in the dark. God is present with us in the dark, and God can be trusted in the dark. Again, we saw it earlier. Where does Jesus turn to at his moment of greatest suffering? He turns to the Father who loves him. The Father he can trust completely with his life and his spirit. The Father he can trust completely even with his death. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus is convinced of something. God is present with him in the dark, and God can be trusted completely in the dark. We go back to what that mother said to my friend during that painful time in her own life. I don't actually need to know everything that God is doing. I probably couldn't understand it anyway. What I need to know is that God loves me and I can trust him. On the cross, Jesus is convinced God the Father loves him and he can trust his Father. And Jesus wants to teach us that same confidence. If you are a follower of Jesus, God is your Father. He loves you and you can trust him completely with your life. So as we think about that, sort of what does it look like to trust God with our lives? Well, as we finish, I think there's a few things this prayer, again, helps us see about what trust looks like in our lives. The first thing I think this prayer teaches us is that trust in God looks like drawing near to our Father. So the first thing we do is draw near to your Father. Again, that's what Jesus says. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus places his life into the Father's hands. He trusts him with everything. And actually, we can do the same. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he told Mary Magdalene, I am returning now to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. Just as Jesus could trust the Father, so we can trust the Father and draw near to him. As a family, we're doing fairly regular walks at the minute down to Victoria Park in the sunshine. We're kind of doing our once a day state sanctioned bit of exercise as a family. And often we do a reasonable lap of it. And on the way home, my daughter will often be getting tired. And so sometimes without saying anything, she just slips her hand into mine as we're walking home. And I've got to say, I love it when she does that. I love it. And what is my daughter saying to me when she does that? She's basically saying to me, Dad, I'm tired. And I don't think I can keep going. I don't really want to keep walking, but please, would you just drag me along for a bit? Please, would you help me? She puts her hand in my hand when it's all a bit much for her. And I want to see, there's the same invitation in this prayer of Jesus for us to put our hand into the hand of the Father when it is all too much for us. I want to say we're living through days that will often feel like they are too much for us. But Jesus urges us, God's word urges us, draw near to your Father in this time. Commit your life into his hands. Commit your family into his hands. Commit your future into his hands. An older friend of mine would often say when we were facing a time of uncertainty or worry, he would say, well, we're in God's hands on this one, but of course, there's no safer place to be. We're in God's hands in this one. And there is no safer place to be. Jesus tells us, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We can echo those words of Jesus. Father, into your hands I commit my life. I commit these days. I commit my struggles and the things that matter to me. Draw near to your Father, says Jesus. That is what trust in God looks like in these days. And linked closely with that, very simply, trust in God looks like talking to your Father. Talk to your Father in these days. It's a very obvious point to make, but Jesus' cry here is audible. He's crying out to his Father with a loud voice, Father. And in a similar way, we express our trust in our Father by crying out to him, by talking to him. Let Jesus' prayer here act as an invitation. Cry out to your Father and keep crying out to him. Talk to your Father and keep talking to him. Tell him what's going on in your life. Tell him what you're struggling with. Tell him what you're scared of. Tell him the things that just you wouldn't tell anyone else and ask him to help you. See, trust in God is not some sort of zen-like calm that sort of nothing ever bothers us. That is not biblical faith. Biblical faith is about living in a fallen world where horrible things happen sometimes and we cry out to God in faith, God help us. That is what Jesus' prayer models for us here. The invitation here is to talk to your Father and to keep talking to him. In my own life, I'm frightened how often I stop talking to my Father. I sort of think, well, this is just too much. I can't even bring this, can't even put this into words. But Jesus' example here is Cry out to your Father, talk to him, and indeed let the Word of God teach you how to talk to him. Again, Jesus here, he's praying a psalm here, Psalm 31, verse 5 to be precise. And the book of Psalms is an amazing gift to God's people, teaching us how to pray. The book of Psalms shows us how to pour out our hearts, to be honest with God, but in such a way that we lift our eyes then to God and to the help only he can give us. The Psalms teach us how to pray honestly, but in faith. And as a church, we're actually working our way through the Songs of Ascent in the book of Psalms. We're sending out 3 psalm readings a week. Why not use those to sort of say, right, Father, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to talk honestly to you and to keep talking to you. Teach me what it looks like to ask you for help. Because trust in God involves talking to our Father. And finally, trust in God is about loving your Father by keeping on following Jesus. See, Jesus demonstrated his trust in his Father by obeying him even to death on a cross. Obedience is costly because love is always costly. And God calls on us to love him with our whole heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. It was Jesus' love for the Father and for us that put him on the cross and kept him there. And the way we demonstrate our trust in God is by obeying him, even when that feels costly, by loving the people around us, even when that feels costly. We love the people we live with by bearing with them, by serving them, by listening to them. We love the people we don't know by keeping our distance at this time, by listening to government advice. Love is costly, but we trust God as we love our Father, by keeping on following Jesus. The Apostle Peter explains some of this as he wrote to a group of slaves in the first century AD. And he puts it like this in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. Peter writes this: Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Peter says Jesus is our example. He trusted his Father in the midst of his suffering, and so can we. That can feel costly, but Jesus wants to teach us what it means to trust our Father. I don't know what your experience of lockdown has been so far over the last few weeks. Some of us are busier than ever in key worker roles, working really hard. Others of us suddenly have a lot of time on our hands, maybe not quite sure what to do with that. Some of us are struggling financially. Some of us are struggling in our marriages or in our family relationships. Some of us feel desperately wanting to escape other people in our house, while others among us are feeling desperately lonely, cut off from other people. The question facing all of us is, can I trust God with my life, with the situation we are all going through? And the answer this prayer of Jesus from the cross tells us is yes, we can trust God completely with our life and even with our death, because Jesus won the victory for us, because Jesus is the one who wants to teach us what faith and trust look like. At the cross, we discover that God is a God who loves us, a God who has rescued us, and a God who is with us even in the darkest of days. At the cross, Jesus trusted his Father completely, and he's willing to teach you and help me to trust our Father completely too. What does it look like to trust God in the coming days? It looks like drawing near to him and putting your hand in his. It looks like talking to him and keeping talking to him. It looks like loving him as you keep following Jesus, even when that is costly. Jesus' prayer on the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. On the cross, Jesus trusted his Father completely, and he is willing and able to teach us to do the same. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the trust you had in your Father at the cross. Thank you that that trust led you to go through all the suffering and punishment we deserve, so that we now know there can be no condemnation for us if we are in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, would you teach us what it means to trust our Father completely in these days? And Lord, would you pray for us? Would you intercede for us, Lord Jesus, when our hearts are weak and wavering? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you loved and trusted your Father completely, and we get the benefit of that in our salvation. Lord, would you teach us what it means to love and trust our Father completely in the days ahead? In your name we ask it. Amen.